Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the LEGIONPODCAST. I am Murray, and this week I am definitely an officer of hoarders.
Oh, no.
I know. Hiding objects and random detritus everywhere really sucks. I had thought somehow when this week I had gone down into the, well, I mean, I'm always going down into the back issue boxes in the regular comic spots where I had done my purging over the last couple of years. So I figured, yeah, I'm not so bad off. I've purged out the ones I don't want. They're all in a pile, but I know that that's the to go somewhere pile. So I kept thinking in my head, I'm done. I'm done the purging and I'm done the organizing. Like I'm done. And then with the new dogs coming, we had to rearrange some stuff and we had to clean up some other areas. And I realized, oh, when I open this cupboard upstairs, I've got all these comics that I picked up that need a home, that don't have a home, that I threw in the closet thinking I'll find a home for them someday. Now they're just sitting in a closet. And then I went to like hide something in another closet and realized, oh, there's another pile of comics that I thought I had dealt with that need to be dealt with. So for all my purging, I think they multiply, or I think they're like socks. They're like the socks in the dryer. They
definitely
just
are.
They just show up. They just keep coming into the house. And I'm not even buying that many, like, real paper floppy comics anymore. And there's still,
for 20 cents a day, people, you could give home, find a home for a homeless comic. And please remember, always spay and neuter your comics.
That's
Sally Struthers.
Totally true. That is true. Don't be surprised someday if you see a Facebook post with comics for sale. Or, even though I hate garage sales, I may just throw a table out on the lawn one day and put a big pile there that says, take them.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did. Because I tried to take him to the dragon. And it's like, no, really, you can have him for free. And she was like, I don't want him.
No, now, just be careful that you don't happen to go by Murray's that week, Paul, and grab them. And then, like, when you have one, Murray goes by yours. They just go back.
Let me tell you, it wouldn't be the first time that's happened.
Totally. Totally. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so that's me. I've got some cleaning and organizing to do on the next rainy day.
Well, that is excellent. Well, let me tell you, when on this particular rainy day, the rest of the family was watching Dune and over the space of two nights, and I was not, because I am the chief executive officer of Dyna. That doesn't mean that I'm like that. Well, I mean, I am a big fan of Black Canary, but it has nothing to do with that. It is the fact that Dune is nap affirming.
The so, new one, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Either one.
Yeah.
But
the books,
but yeah,
the movie, the miniseries.
I did about you know, Ella really wanted to see it. And so she and Jam were at the library and she grabbed the DVD and said, yeah, I want to watch this. And so Jam was saying how she's never been able to get through the book and that's just the first book. You know, and she's like, and I've read a lot of that kind of stuff, but she's like, yeah, it, I just could not get anywhere with it. And, but they did manage to get through the movie. So I understand. Last night I took a good long nap. In fact, I got up and it's like, oh, I got to do the show in a few minutes.
Oh, sure. You wake up for that one.
Well, hey, I woke up for this one too. They watched the part two tonight.
Oh, good point.
Then it got to the end and Jan's like, wait a second. Is that it? And Ella says it's a part two. She's like, you mean another disc? And it's like, no, you're making another movie. They don't usually, you know, when they've divided it over a couple of discs, they don't usually roll credits at the end. So it's all good.
Yeah, the closest I ever got to Dune was when I was a kid. I had a random issue of Starlog, which was all about the original Dune.
Yes.
That seemed to be enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was like, I said to Janet's like, you know, I remember that Kyle MacLachlan was in it. And I remember Sting was in it. And then there was the part with Tina Turner, and she's like, "You're mixing it up with Mad Max," and it's like, oh, "I am." Which movie did I see?
June 4, Bartertown.
Oh man, you know, yeah. Every now and then, you know, I think that's really what Dune needed is a couple of Thunderdomes.
Well, I am Al, and this week I was an enemy of the agents of barking. Brainless annoyance, repeating noise incessantly at nature growing. So took the dog out back after dinner to pee real quick so they don't bother me while I record.
Hopefully. Yeah.
And he was going barking at something out there. And there's a pond out back, not a pond, there's a retention pond out back, and there are turtles in there. And one of them has decided our backyard is the good place to lay their eggs.
Oh, dear.
So it's like, oh, boy. I'm like, all right. So got to take the dogs out front now to pee. They're, you know, quick pees because don't want them bothering the turtle while it's trying to lay eggs.
And yeah.
Now I got to keep an eye on where that spot is and maybe call Fish and Wildlife, let them know there's a turtle nest so it doesn't get it.
Yeah. You
know, all that fun stuff. But it's like, all right, I guess they picked, I think it probably picked the backyard because it was dark at the time, but then I flipped the lights on. The turtle's probably like, oh, crap. Turn off that damn light. My kids need to know where to go. Because apparently I found out after living here for a year or so, I'm like, why do we have so many of these long stretches of roads with no lights? We're in the Sunshine State. Why don't they have, like, solar panels over them? And I found out it's because of the turtle eggs. When they hatch, they follow the moon, and they have all these lights on. The babies instead would start following those lights and head over to the, start going to roses.
That's amazing.
I mean, that's what I was told. Let's assume it's right.
There is a spider that needs to be dispatched.
Absolutely. Squash it.
Right.
Who says we don't need another hero?
Oh, that sounds final.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a former spider.
Yep. As an ex-spider.
He snuffed it.
He's pining for the cobwebs.
And a little dog Toto, too. Oh, there we go. Well, that's a bit of excitement. Yeah.
There we go. Oh, and speaking of needing another hero, we got two heroes on the cover.
Yes.
We have the Masked Avenger fighting Leather Rose.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Leather Rose.
And we are now in the era of Don Kitson penciled covers. He only inked it.
Oh.
It's Jorgensen did the cover.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out where Kitson went at this point.
What is this now? This is May 94, right?
Yeah.
Let's see if this can come up anything.
Is he yeah, I'm trying because I you know, I always mix up the timeline, but I mean, it, you know, it's so it's we're at a full 10 years, almost 10 years before we get to Three Boot. So
definitely not that.
I know that there was some stuff in between, like some
Empire maybe.
Yeah, might have been because that was. Oh, God, what was the name of that company? monkey something? No.
Not Legend. Gorilla Comics.
Gorilla Comics, yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, so, I mean, that would have been...
Gosh. I know that was somewhere in the 90s.
I was blown away that it was that long ago. I mean, I appeared for a while, but no, I think issue one was like 2000. So,
Okay, yeah. Let's see what we have here. I'm looking at the comic.org. Issue 60, 64. I see him doing work on Adventures of Superman.
Oh, that's right. That's totally, you're right. That is absolutely it. Because he went over there for a while. That was, and it was a big deal. You know, it was.
Also doing some work on the Azrael series. Now, I'm not sure. I've also seen Batman and Shadow of the Bat. So I'm not sure if he was doing covers or interior.
Shadow of the Bat, the covers were, at least at the beginning, were Stealth Freeze.
Oh, but this is like issue 36, 37.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, yeah. So we're like deep into, see, yeah, he was very busy then because that's when we got deep into all of the, Nightfall and all that kind of stuff.
And this is just after that because I'm seeing like Azrael number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That Azrael book that he did with O'Neill was fire. It was so good. I really dug it.
I didn't know he drew that. He drew the Azrael book at all.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't remember it until you mentioned it. It's like, oh yeah, it was really good. You know, so it seems that I was well aware of where he went. I bought all those books.
So he was mostly doing, he did Superman for a while and then a lot of Azrael and Shadow the Bat stuff.
Yeah.
For the next few years.
Well, because that Superman gig was, pretty unforgiving time-wise, right? So he would have come in shortly after Superman came back. And I think he did like a dozen issues or so. So he was there for about a year.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, because that book, you know, it didn't come out because it's ready. It came out because it's the next week. You know, that was the Triangle Days.
Yes.
So.
And you're right. Empire was, I mean, it was Guerrilla Comics, but technically that was just an imprint. That was published by Image. And yeah, those two issues.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Those two issues came out in 2000.
Yeah.
And then it would be redone later on, a couple years later, by DC.
Yeah, I've got that. That's what I've got is the DC trade.
Yeah, I bought both of them. I was original two. And then, yeah, because a lot of that Gorilla stuff went by quickly.
It did.
Yeah. Here
and then gone. Boom.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, I think that it looks like it might have all been Image.
I didn't realize that. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, Empire, Crimson Plague. Empire, George Perez's Crimson Plague, Section Zero, Shock Rockets, Superstar, and Telos.
Oh, that Telos was so good.
Oh yeah,
that's the Dezago and Waringo. I've got a couple of trades of that too. It's beautiful. Yeah, so it was basically Perez, Wade, Kitson, Kiesel, and Grummet, Busick, and Immonen. And Dezago and Waringo. What a murderer's row of
yeah.
And it didn't last, which is
That's a damn shame.
Well, the same thing with Legend. Legend. Remember they had those ones? It was like Dark Horse and Malibu.
Yeah, because Legend that was like that was
Mignola.
Yeah, and Allred.
Yeah. And Art Adams.
Oh, right. Monkey Man and...
O'Brien.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Crazy. Yeah, that was. Those were heady times.
Yeah, they were all trying to start their own little imprints.
Yeah, well, I mean, understandably, right?
Well, I mean, about this time, I think Ultraverse might have still been going on.
Ultraverse, was that Malibu?
That was the Malibu one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then, yeah, they're Malibu Comics. Prime, Sludge, Mantra,
Strangers.
Nightman.
TV yeah, show Nightman. For some reason, I never followed on to that stuff. I don't know why. Like, I got into Image at the beginning and then kind of fell off it fairly quickly. You know, there was the odd thing that, like, you know, it's like, oh, when Ordway and Gordon did Wildstar, it was like, oh, well, I'll get that. And but yeah. I think after the first few months, it ended up where the only thing I was buying on an ongoing basis was Spawn.
Yeah, Image, I did the same thing. I bought a lot of the early stuff and dropped off quickly on a lot of them, and then came back a couple years later when they were doing, they weren't where they're at now, which is like a lot of, like, you know, ooh, the mark, you know, really cool, interesting, you know, indie stuff. But it was like they're kind of getting like all kinds of weird, bizarre pitches from different creators and like just letting them go nuts, like trying to figure out what to do besides, you know, the originals. Like this stuff going on, you know, all the Gorilla stuff they had and.
Yeah.
All kinds of other weird, you know, anything weird people had in their heads. Like, yeah, sure, come here, Image, and do it.
Nice. Hey, before we get any further, we should point out this is episode 100, guys.
Woohoo!
100.
We have made it to three digits.
Right on.
Look at us. We have turned this 70 issue series into 100 episodes and counting.
And have not got to issue 70 yet.
Exactly. I mean, we're in spitting distance of it, but, you know, don't worry, folks. There's lots more to cover.
Oh, yeah. There's still some stuff to rebel against.
Yes, exactly.
Totally. Totally.
And we still need to get in still because of, unfortunately, because of timing and things, but we still have to get to that Lobo convention.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Global convention. I imagine the line management is fierce.
Actually, I think that from what I skimmed, I believe that is actually part of the issue.
Yeah, it wouldn't. Yeah, I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, that is just that's just how you do.
Now I will go find my Telos issues and review that whole
thing. I know, right? I'm like doing a quick dig for some of the other stuff because I've never seen any of it, and everything I've heard from everyone is how great it is. Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, I don't think it was finished before he passed away.
Hmm.
So it's one of many unfinished series.
Yeah.
Sad.
Listen.
Alrighty. Well, that brings us to where? Legion 94,
66? 66. Yep. The Masked Avenger falls.
Oh, no. We hardly even know him.
I wonder if we'll find out his secret identity.
I wonder.
And who is this? I know we have another character, a costume character here. We don't know who the best Avenger is, and we have somebody else.
Crazy.
We do.
And I cannot figure out who they are.
Those masks are fierce, you know?
No, what do they have to do with Legion? No clue.
Exactly.
Like that one YouTube video I saw where the guy put a glasses on and all of a sudden no one knew who he was. Or no, he took them off. They're talking, and all of a sudden he takes his glass off. Like, where'd John go? He was just here a second ago. What happened? Who are you?
Looks like it's a cover by Jorgensen and Kitson.
Yep, Kitson inked, Jorgensen's penciling.
Mm. Yeah, Kitson's inks definitely make it look Kitson-y.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's a really nice blend, though, isn't it?
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I love one of the things I really love about Jorgensen is his fearlessness with stuff that he does. I mean, it's just incredible. You know, like he does the The way he does action, the way he does stuff like the whole stealth and the crazy stuff that happened, and he made it work.
Yeah.
And that just blows my mind. He just has this level of fearlessness that still manages to make something that is completely ludicrous look reasonable on a page.
Yeah, and it's a good cover to do this kind of switch where, like, Kitson stops penciling it because
yeah.
you don't have any of the humanoid characters, you know, even though they're different colors, you know, Stealth, Docs, FaZe, they all look just human. It's the very non-human characters, so it's perfect for that, where you still have enough Kitson in there, but it's not like a complete, brand new change, all new, all different. You know, where it might scare somebody off from who's buying before going, oh, it's not the same people anymore? Never mind. Because, I mean, as great as they both are, if you go from, like, covers, if you're going from, like, let's say, Alan Davis covers to Mike Mignola, you're going to lose some people, or vice versa.
Yeah, and that's not... It's not a quality knock. It's
awesome.
It's a style. Yeah, exactly. It's a big style change. And, it was like, I don't know, going from Steve Lytle to Eric Larson in Doom Patrol. Right. Yes. You know, it's like, whoa, that's a significant change in style. Or going from like issue, 305 of Legion to issue 306. It's like, wow, what's Keith been doing?
Yeah. Or even just like page 4 to page 5 of that particular issue.
That's fair.
Well, that was his weekend hanging out with Grant Morrison.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that was a tough day.
Yeah, that issue starts off so traditional Giffen, and then it's like 4 or 5 pages in, like then boom,
yeah,
something happened.
He started that on like a Wednesday or Thursday. And he's like, all right, I'm gonna go have this grandkid for the weekend, and you know, that's where Grant got the idea for the whole Animal Man thing. He's watching Keith going, I can see them.
Yeah,
they're watching us.
Oh god, that's funny.
He's like, oh, that works. That's a good idea.
Except nobody could understand what he was saying.
Grant Morrison talks to people. They're just like, what are they saying? I don't know.
Nah, I don't know.
Probably cool though. Let's go with it. But anyway,
absolutely.
Yeah. So Legion 66, the Masked Avenger falls. It's the Masked Avenger is fighting another costume character, Leather Rose. And we start out with the skyline of Karen. And, we get closer and closer each panel. And we have narration. It's cold. Darn cold. So extremely numbingly cold, you can actually see the last desperate breaths of this disease in the base city. Karen City. My city. No matter what I do, it doesn't get any better. No matter what I say, it doesn't listen. It's headed for a sorry end. Somehow that makes me think of beginnings. No, too traumatic. Mustn't remember. Origin. Too late. Had a job, a good job. And we see Garv. Why are we seeing Garv? We're seeing Garv.
Oh my God.
Garv.
Very happy with the Legion. Looks like the end of a 1970s, episode of a show, drama show. Like,
the freeze frame.
Yeah. I could walk away from Docs, from Legion, and even from Strata. But not my conscience. If I couldn't find injustice from within the system, I'd go outside. And we see a very symbolic image of Strata, in Docs' giant hand as he's maniacally looking over it. It's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
And then we see the Masked Avengers Garv.
What?
Wow. Oh my gosh.
They're known.
She looks, wow. This is unprecedented.
Which brings me here to the deaf, unseeing rooftops that are my ears and eyes. Wait a minute, that makes no sense. Waiting, watching, remembering, reliving my origin again and again, sifting for any answers to the perplexing riddle my life had become. Why is everything always such a pain? Okay, so Pear was either reading a lot of Sin City or Batman or both at this point.
Oh, I think that's yeah. Pretty.
There's some definite, there's some definite Dark Knight in this. I love what he's doing with it.
And so he shoots out like a little, I guess, Avenger line and swinging down as a couple guys, toughs, are pointing a knife at an old person. Hand over the nose ring, Grandma, now! Hurry up, it's freezing out here. Or maybe we'll put you on ice for good. The Bag Lady boys, I've been hunting these vermin for weeks. And he swings in and kicks one in the back. Ugh. I will not sleep at night. That is, I will only sleep during the day until I eliminate all such predators. But what if I succeed? What happens if there are no more punks upon whom to vent my deep-rooted frustrations and feed my ravenous dark obsession? Why am I snap? A sudden surge of shame seizes my stomach as I speculate. Could I even exist without these punks? And while he's, you know, monologuing, he's at least beating the hell out of most of them. Which begs the question, could they exist if not for me? Does my career as a mass avenger actually generate outlandish criminal activity in some far-fetched sociopathic group response? Am I the unwitting cause of the very thing I... And he gets hit in the back of a brick. Ugh! Which thankfully shuts that up. And then all of a sudden a whip goes around that wrist with the brick and knocks it out of its hand. And there, in clad in all red with some kind of, I don't know, almost looks like burlap suspenders and shorts, is Leather Rose saying, don't treat him so roughly, big boy. After all, he's only a man.
Bam, bam, bang.
And our story is called Grit. Tom Pyre, writer, Arne Jorgensen, penciler, James Pasco, inker, Gene D'Angelo, colorist, Gaspar, letterer, and I guess in this case, since they're all written on brick, graffiti artist.
Yeah,
totally.
Peter J. Tomasi, assistant editor, Dark Dan Raspler, editor. And we're now back at Legion HQ, and we can see Lady, quote-unquote, Lady Quark, because it's really that parasite.
Yeah.
Getting ready, going to bed, and all of a sudden the communication device comes on. Click. My fellow Legionnaires. I understand a fortunate rumor circulating with regard to upper management. And we go into a bar for a bunch of Legion soldiers, bedroom where Mary Jane is moaning, looking at Comet's picture, the commissary, and this TV is all coming on, telling everybody, with Doc's telling everybody, I mean. It should go without saying that your jobs are clearly defined, and none of them, I repeat, none of them, authorize idle speculation or malicious disinformation. This is news to you. The penalties for morale violations are clearly detailed in the Legion Code. Oh, he's getting tough with you. Yeah, it's one of the guys. This is apparently someone getting booked, and he's telling the officers, ooh, too bad. And they're like, quiet, perp. The rumor in question, well, there's no delicate way to repeat it. It says that I have gone mad and given a position of authority to my son. An infant child who can't yet speak. Well, the first part is false. I haven't gone mad. The second part is true. My one-year-old is our new administrative director. And the recruits are reacting to this noise, and Darius is like, you gotta be kidding me. And Amon Hawk is like, no. As for the third part, perhaps my son will tell you himself as he picks his son up. And the baby literal saying, the fact is, I can speak. Seven languages. Intellect. Cairnese, Colon, Kundish, Argon, Amiskian, and English. And everyone's like, what? The Beth is what? Davra? What's his name? The flying guy. I always forget his name. His face is the best reaction. He's like, huh?
Oh my.
It's like Jorgensen was watching a Drew Carey movie. He's like, oh, this is perfect.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. It's smoking.
And you know, we're seeing all these little vignettes of all these little Legionnaires in different places that they're getting the news. Garen Beck is in the bath looking very depressed. Shock. We got that officer, that detective or chief from the sort of bouncing boy issue.
Yeah.
I would like to thank my fathers for this opportunity. I look forward to the challenge of streamlining our administrative machinery. Well said, son. As you can see, my son enjoys an intellectual capacity that most of you can't even conceptualize.
Most of you dumbasses won't have a clue what he's talking about.
You hairless apes. As unsettling as the appearance may be, I expect each of you to show him the same respect you have given me. Doc's out. And Flyer Guy is talking to Monhawk still. So you think we're getting too old to be promoted around here? Shut up.
I mean, you're out of diapers, so, you know, you probably hit the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah.
You're already too old. Retirement. So, like, retirement age is, what, 8? Now that the thing's over, Doc's is holding the baby. I think that one, though. Even tell them my name. Oh, they'll know it soon enough. Core team disembarking in Bay 23, sir. Let's greet your mother. Yay!
Oh, my.
And they bring him out to see the ship that was from the last few issues coming back. Lobo's shoving people away, shoving Borb out of the way. One side, Beanhead, I'll deal with you later. Docs, we gotta talk! And he shoves Stealth out of the way, who's rushing to get her baby. Hey, watch it, Lobo! Nobody Shanghai's the main man. You want me for a job, you ask me. Got it? And the baby says, it was my idea to sedate you, Lobo.
What?
When I viewed your singular capacity for violence as an asset to a rather reduced core team, I did fear your excitability could jeopardize what was essentially an undercover mission. And Lobo, while staring open-mouthed at the baby, Doc tells him, naturally, I agreed.
Another Docs? Two Docs?
But Stealth slaps him out of the way. Baby, come here, you.
Well, he is in a DC comic, so you know that Lobo definitely wants to avoid a paradox.
Ba-dum-bum.
Well, in 94, that was not going to happen for anybody.
That's fair. That's fair.
The only way to avoid that was to go Vertigo. Like, look, you got to go full Vertigo or you're stuck with this crap, all right?
Exactly.
So Stealth takes the baby in her arms. Oh, you're my hero, you know that? You saved my life. Oh, mother. And Doc tells him, don't be so modest, son. We're both proud. Baby's like, you better tuck me in then. It's awfully late. I have to get to work early. Stealth's like, work? He was bored, so I gave him Beck's job. Our baby is the administrative director? What happened to Beck? Baby says, he works for me now.
Oh, God.
And while she has the baby, Doc says, if you'll excuse me, telepath? She's like, Docs, we'll discuss it in the morning. Mommy, there's something else you should know, too.
Let's go! Get Kroger's delivery savings.
My stupid tablet is making noise. That's what you needed to know. There we go.
Been there.
And she's like, what? But Lydia comes out first. There you are, Stealth. I've been waiting for you to get back. I want to thank you. For what? For naming the baby after Mother. It would have meant so much to her. But I didn't... Oh, you wanted to tell me something else, son? Or should I say Larissa? Please, Mother, that's a girl's name. I'm calling myself Literal. Literal Docs. After all, you had a whole year to name me, and I thought you wanted to honor Larissa's memory. He's right on both counts. To be fair, the baby is right there. And Lydia all of a sudden is realizing, did I start an argument here? I assumed... It's okay, Lydia, I approve. It's just a bit of a shock. I didn't expect to come home and find him christened and employed. Baby's like, well, you were gone for 2 whole days. What was I going to do, just sit here?
Yeah.
She's adjusting remarkably quickly to the fact that her baby is, you know, a super genius and and all the rest.
He's a super genius.
That is correct.
Gonna be getting boxes of Acme pretty soon. Anyway, back in that dark, dank alley, you can see the three guys are all tied up with that whip. It's a very long whip. I mean, it's wrapped around them like 20 times, trails over the guy's legs, into Leather Rose's hand. I didn't catch that before. And Leather Rose is saying to Mass Avenger, well, look who's decided to wake up.
Oh.
Now what? Oh, somebody dropped me like slush down a sewer. That's what. And so he punches Leather Rose. No mystery who managed it. I know a beautiful but deadly masked ringleader when I see one. Why is it only the sultry ones who go bad? You got a problem, masked man? Yes, you. You got that right. And whips, ties the, you know, puts. Oh, I just realized what you're doing. She's taking the whip end off the handle and putting a new one on.
Yes.
And now she's tying up the Mass Avenger with the whip. Crack! Just answer one question, Avenger. If I'm your enemy, then why are these punks tied up in my whip? The tomato has a point. And if you're not my enemy, then who are you? Call me Leather Rose. I helped you. Now perhaps you can help me. I'm looking for a man. She lets him go, and he's like, I'm flattered, but I have work to do. All right, scum, start talking. All I want is your leader and your hideout. Or I hand you over to the whip woman. You can try. I think you'd be your chance for a big man, because she's gone. Gone. Vanished, like crime on Christmas Eve. And they're having fun at his expense. Looks like another lonely night in the secret headquarters, Mr. Superhero. I bet she's shacking up at Captain Comics tonight. They're probably, shut up. I said talk. And they're having, like, wait, shut up and talk? They find this funny. Meanwhile, we can see Leather Rose has been climbing up the side of the building. This plan had better work. I show up out of nowhere, save his butt, flirt a little. Then I slip into the night like a wraith. Overwhelmed with curiosity and concern, he follows me. Wrapped around my pinky, his grim, gritty veneer stripped away to reveal an insecure male. So, where is he? Yeah, they're definitely reading some of those comics. And now we're at another building where the masked Avenger is climbing up with his guys tied up in his back. And once we're on the roof, I'm going to dangle you right off the edge. If you still don't talk, you know what I'm going to do? We don't care. We love heights. Sure, talk tough now, but once we, and they see up at the top of the next roof is Leather Rose. Hey, loser, isn't that your girlfriend? What does she want now? Blast, the last thing I need now is an audience. So he decides to make a deal. Look, kids, help me out here. There's a 20 in it for you if you spill. 50, 40, 50, and I want to see it first. All right, 50. But you better act like you're pretty damn scared of me. And back at Legion headquarters, Telepath is with Dox and FaZe. And she's like, Comet's dead? I don't believe it. He was so nice to me. He was a telepath too, you know. I know. He understood. He really understood. And Dox is giving him instructions. Telepath, I want you to scan Lady Quirk's mind. See if she's telling the truth about Comet. What are you saying? She's one of us. She wouldn't. Let's just say I have my reasons. And FaZe is definitely not putting up with this crap anymore. Let's just say you share them with us. All right. Before his death, Quirk and Comet fought. She says he died accidentally, but there were no witnesses. Mary Jane and Beck claim that Quirk provoked the fight. When I later debriefed her, she seemed unaccountably hostile. I haven't seen any evidence that Comet's really dead. I need answers, Telepath. All right, I'll do it. And Telepath focuses psychic antenna, searching out Quark's particular vibration. And he finds her asleep. Good. She'll never sense his presence. He enters her mind, searching her memories. Strange, she is Quark, but only since a particular moment, a recent moment. She sees another Quark and feels an appetite. She satisfies it, and we see the flashback of her actually blasting the real Lady Quark. All of Quark's memories flow into her. This is too much. Telepath skips ahead. To Ichthia, where the real Quark was dispatched to dispatch the AOL Garen Beck. This Quark regards Comet like a shabby old house. No good memories there. He remembers her. She was a virus. He was her host. That's a secret she desperately wants to keep. So she murders him. Plowing into the present moment, but Telepath isn't driving. There's another active consciousness present. It's hers. And we're getting like these really kind of cool, freaky looking flashbacks. It's literally looking like it's coming from like somebody's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's all cool. Like all fisheye lens and everything.
Yeah.
Until we're finally getting close, and now the eye is not longer looking at the memories. The eye is now looking at Telepath and says, it's the killer. And you see in the eye's image, Telepath being blasted. And Telepath screams, Telepath, what's wrong? Don't baby him. Telepath, what did you learn? Tell me. Lady Quark is... Yes? Lady Quark is telling the truth. And we see the big Quark in her quarters, laughing, saying, good boy, Telepath. I think we have a problem here. I'm sure it's not going to get worse.
Not at all.
Now we're seeing a little television screen. And still tonight, the infamous Bag Lady Boys have held Karin City in their fearsome grip. No leads exist to their mysterious leader. But we see the Mass Avenger looking outside an underground base with a bunch of guys looking through all this gold and jewelry and money. They call him Apple Mary. He's an embittered ex-college professor who's fired for ignoring the dress code. Now he uses his educational skills to lead innocent boys to crime. They take the risks. He skims the cream. Sure, Batman, Sin City, Oliver Twist.
Yeah, all yeah.
Reminds me of someone I used to know. Reminds me of your old docs. You just made a big mistake, Apple Mary. You reminded me of my origin! And he smashes through the wall, and they're like, it's the Mass Avenger! Come on, let's rush him. He's big, but he can't take us all. Excellent. And Apple Mary steps in the middle. Now, boys, we're businessmen, not fighters. We had a run of good luck, but it's over. What? I don't want any trouble, Mass Avenger. I'll go quietly. And he put Apple Mary has his wrist, hands up, ready to be cuffed. Crap. When does his job become satisfying? As he just cuffs him. I guess the guy gave up. And now, a little bit later, Legion officers have shown up to arrest everybody. Okay, let's move him out. What about the freak in the mask? Chief Horgoth says we never saw him. And but the Rose steps out of the shadows. Avenger, I followed you here in case you needed help. Well, I didn't. You okay? I don't want to talk about it. Well, I need help. See, I've been looking for a man. Leave me alone! And he knocks the Rose into, well, some kind of sewer thing, it looks like. Why did you do that? I'm sorry, I'm just frustrated. I'm sorry. Besides, you're looking for a man, and I'm already spoken for. But I'm not looking for any man. I'm looking for this one. And she shows him a picture of Garv. His name's Garv, and I love him. I'll beg if I have to, but please help me find him. Master Avenger realizes all of a sudden, Strata? And she says, Garv, and he takes his mask off. Without thinking, I take one plunge. Strata! And he jumps in the sewage with her.
And then so another, romantic.
Strata, marry me. Yes, sure. Yes, oh yes. I kiss her, she kisses me. My lust for vengeance is washed away in the healing baptism of her spirit. As moonlight dances in the gently lapping sewage. Brings a tear to your eye. Or maybe
so beautiful.
Or maybe mm-hmm. you're just tearing from the smell of the sewage. One of the two.
Hmm. That's fair.
Next issue. Funeral for a friend.
Well, look at that. See, we do a 100th episode and there's a proposal at the end of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Every issue 100 needs a wedding or a funeral.
Exactly.
Needs something.
Well, that was great.
It really was a good one. You could tell Pyre was having a ball just to write.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Writing the heck out of it.
Yeah. He does satire well.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he knows the conventions well and knows how to subvert them. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was very, very good.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know if he was reading more Sin City or just going through all the Batman stuff, but either way, this is perfect.
It was very much of that time, wasn't it?
Yeah. Nice. Don't remind me of my origin. No! Yeah. Too traumatic.
Yeah. Strike a pose, which he does in silhouette.
Yeah. Pearls dropping every 5 pages.
Oh, God. Nice.
Excellent. Great issue.
Alrighty. That was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
God, that was great.
It was. Pyre, yeah, he's having fun with this series all the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I wasn't picking this up at the time, but there were many issues, reasons for that, including at this point starting college, which means I was very, very poor.
Yeah. There was something about that, you know, the like he got that the book had always been a bit irreverent, you know. I mean, you know, even if only with the Lobo stuff, but even before that, you know, there was always sort of a dry wit going on, and that was just from you know, Giffen and Grant. So so he knew he could get away with that. And I think he's really going in well with it. You know, he's pushing it a little bit further, and it's working.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And like I said last time, they're definitely, the two of them are definitely going for that early JLI feel, because I mean, we have this going on,
but yeah, the meantime,
we have that whole telepath and Lady Quark and her murder of Comet, and now it looks like she's controlling telepath.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm almost glad I wasn't reading it at the time, because I'd be very disappointed when it got canceled, when it gets canceled.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure. Well, nice. Well, that is awesome.
Alrighty. Do we have any feedback, or?
I don't believe we do. So, folks, that's your homework.
Yes. Send something.
Yes. Yes. Send us some stuff. And you can send it to us at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can leave a comment on our Facebook page, which is facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, or you can even leave a comment on our website. It's legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode.
And with that, we will say goodbye. See you all later.
Hasta la LUEGO.
Man, that's my gig.
You're going to make me do this twice?
XAJR.
AJ. What?
No.
No.
That was.